Yep. Does it look like it's real bright? And I think the other one we've already used. We don't think so? Okay. You are right. Ta-da! Let there be light. Okay. Oh, no, that's not the... I did too. It's the Constellation Prize. It probably does. There's already more than I can count. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, I have to do... I mean, Steve, I've taken your shoes off. Okay, let's take a couple of minutes and make sure that each one of us are walking by faith in the Holy Spirit. We're ready to see what God has for us this evening. Let's pray. Father, I pray that as we worship you today, that your Spirit would make the person of Jesus Christ real to each one of us in its own unique way. I thank you for the time now that we have to look at your whole plan for the universe in the stars. I pray now that the result would be a greater understanding of the conflict and the victory of our Savior and the conflict between him and Lucifer. These things I pray in Christ's name. Amen. Well, we are we are studying the, not in astrology, but we are studying the 12 signs of the zodiac. 12 is often the number of government, the number of perfect government. And so what we have is the perfect government of the Lord Jesus Christ, the perfect government of God in history. And the entire zodiac shows us the warfare that is going on between Lucifer and God's hero, the Lord Jesus Christ. And every time you see the serpent, the snake, later on we'll get to the sea monster over here, we have a picture of Lucifer, and then we always have in the third decan of the different constellations, we always have it summed up in the victory of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we started way over here with Virgo, and that's the Virgin. And we saw that in one hand she has the branch. The branch is the Lord Jesus Christ. And in the other, the seed. The seed fell to the ground and sprouted. In the different parts of that book, we saw each one of them, coma, there is the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who came to die for our sin. We have Centurius. He is the God-man, an unusual creature, part horse, part man. You don't see a lot of those. That's the hypostatic union. He is the priest, and of course, in the victim, which is another deacon in the next book. But Christ is not only the priest and the one who offers the sacrifice. He is the sacrifice, and that's what makes him unique. And then we saw the coming one, the returning one, Brutus. He's coming back, and he will rule the earth. He has victory over Lucifer. We looked at Libra, the scales. Jesus Christ balanced the scales in our favor by paying for our sins. He purchased us, redeemed us. That's what the scales stand for, purchase or redemption. He purchased us from the slave market of sin. And we've moved all the way around, and we are now in Aquarius. That's where what we're studying today. And Aquarius is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's pouring out the water of life, the Holy Spirit, into the fish. And we saw the fish from Capricorn. Remember the goat, the sacrifice of Christ? But from his death came life, resurrection, the fish, the church. And so we have the church, and the life of the church literally precedes from the water of life, the Holy Spirit. And we were ready to start the first decon last week, which is Pisces, which is the southern Pisces, or the southern fish. Notice it's a southern fish, not a northern fish, representing the church or the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. I think I pointed out last week that not one drop of water is wasted, and there is plenty to fill. In fact, if you would, when we're filled with the Spirit, play Rojo, he fully possesses us. I think it's a beautiful picture because, I don't know, can you see, to me, this is a lot of water, and it's a little fish. And so, it's an infinite supply of water, and this fish is plenty full, believe me. And when you and I trust the Holy Spirit by drinking the Holy Spirit, trusting Him, then we are plenty filled. We notice that none of the water is wasted. It's not running around. It's not like drinking out of a water fountain. You get some, but it seems like when I drink out of a water fountain, most of it goes down the drain. Well, none of the water is wasted because we have to be single-minded or wholly focused upon the flow of water in order to drink it. Look at James chapter 1, verse 2. James chapter 1, verse 2. James says, consider it all joy when you encounter various trials. Consider it all joy. I know that we always do. We always have a good time when we have some type of trial. And the reason that we consider it joy is because this is what God is using to help mold us, transform us into the image of Christ. When you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance, and let endurance have its perfect result, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. But if any of you lacks wisdom, if any of you are in need of wisdom, you just don't know how to trust the Holy Spirit. Let him ask of God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and he will be, or it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, without doubting, for the one, this is our verse now, for the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. When we doubt the power of the Holy Spirit, when we doubt God's word, then what happens? Rather than our lives being centered around the truth of Jesus Christ, and truth in general, all truth proceeds from God, we begin to take in falsehoods, false doctrines, false viewpoints, false philosophies of life, and we're just driven and tossed by the wind. We're like a ship without a rudder. Doesn't make any difference. We're just going along fine, and then somebody has this new fad, so we all run over there. And then somebody says, oh, no, and we all run over there. And then we all run here, and we all run there. I think of, pardon me, I think of this, those perhaps involved in the charismatic movement, if it's not one thing, it's another. And when the laughter came about, remember the part of the Holy Spirit was laughter. That's how you knew you were filled with the Spirit. And, boy, people just flocked to that. And that was the big thing. And then it's something else. And then it's something else. And instead of just trusting the Holy Spirit and allowing Him to guide us. Then he says, for let not that man expect that he will receive anything from the Lord. In other words, when we're looking for some means to be filled with the Spirit, other than simple faith in the Spirit, you're not going to get the filling of the Spirit, because that's what we're talking about. Being a double-minded man and unstable in all of his ways. Double-minded, we're not focused in on the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, because we're not focused in upon the Holy Spirit, and so therefore we are kind of moving around and we're missing the flow of the Holy Spirit. In order to get the flow of the Holy Spirit, we have to be in the right place, and the right place is the place of faith. Simply trusting the Holy Spirit. If we run over here to do a little work so He'll bless us, so He'll fill us, we miss Him. Because He's here. And that's what He's talking about. So we live in the age of Pisces, of the fish, that's the church age. And what's everybody looking forward to? They're looking forward, when I say everybody, that's a generalized term, that what I, let me rephrase that. What is the world looking forward to? What are they talking? Oh, we've got to live in the age of Aquarius, the age of joy and peace. But you see, they forget that every time that we talk about in each one of these constellations, that the last decon is always the Lord Jesus Christ, and He's coming for blessing for His own and judgment for those who are not His own. So the age of Aquarius is going to be a great time in the millennium for believers. Okay? But right now, what it really is talking about us is the church age. And we live in the age of peace. We live in the age of harmony. Now, I was watching one of my favorite programs the other night, very true police story, called Barney Miller. I once heard a famous cop, and they asked him, what is the most accurate police show on TV? He said, Barney Miller. there was a man who was up on the 15th floor of this building, and he was going to jump unless Israel and Palestine came to peace. Now, this is an old show. And so Fish had to go take care of it. And Fish was pretty practical, and he knew that the guy was going to jump. But you see, we think, the world thinks, peace and harmony among the world. We have to have diversity so that we'll all have harmony with one another. And we just need to love one another. And they're having all these conferences all throughout the world. Why can't we just all get along? And it's like Rodney King has become the ambassador to the earth. And everyone is, we can just all get along. Now look, the age of Aquarius, the church age, is the age where we are all to get along as believers in Christ, because the result of being filled with the Spirit is spiritual love. We love one another. And that means that we love believers who have different doctrines than we have. It doesn't mean we have to agree with the doctrine. Okay? But there are believers that I have fellowship with that doctrine-wise, we're as far as the east is from the west, the north pole from the south pole. Okay? So we're not the judge. Can you see the difference? I can have a breakfast with a charismatic, and I don't judge him. Do I agree with his doctrine? No. But we can have harmony. You see, it doesn't mean that we have to compromise our doctrine. But because we love one another through the power of the Spirit, or at least I'm to love him, I'm the only person that God holds me responsible for, there's harmony and there's peace. So the secret for peace and harmony is the Holy Spirit. And more than that, you see, we cannot have peace and harmony with one another if we don't have peace and harmony with God. Have you ever noticed that when you're kind of out of sorts with God, you're kind of out of sorts with everyone else? I know some of you have never been out of sorts with God, but make a little mental note, if you ever are, notice that. Now look, this is a good barometer. This can be an idiot light for you. When you find yourselves out of sorts with other people, you know that you're out of sorts with God. Now, and it's a great illustration, because just because you are in sorts with people doesn't mean you're in sorts with God. You see what I mean? So you can improve and repair a relationship and be sweet to someone and not be filled with the Spirit. So what you need to do is go back to God, back to the filling of the Holy Spirit by faith, and the result of that is you are at peace and harmony with others because you love them. Okay? So that's where we are. And I like Pisces Australis, Southern Fish. I like the story from Greek mythology concerning the Southern Fish. In Greek mythology, the fish is a representation of Aphrodite. And remember, she was transformed into a fish because she was trying to escape Typhoon, the monster. You know, a great way to escape the typhoon, the monster, is just be a fish. And have this whole big elaborate story, and this is a way that Satan tries to obscure the truth. But even in his trying to obscure the truth, he gets truth. Because what does the fish represent? It represents us as new creatures in Christ being transformed into the image of Christ. We were changed into a new creation. At the point of faith in Christ, we went from literally God was our enemy to God becomes our Father. So there is a transformation that takes place. And what else do we know? Satan, the monster, had us in his grasp. We sit in the same penalty of sin that Satan is under. But Christ came and rescued us, birthed us. We're born from above, born from God. And so just as we were born from the power of the Spirit, now we have to live by the same power of the Spirit. Paul could have said, instead of saying in Colossians 1:6, just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, so walk ye in Him, he could have said, live by means of the same one who birthed you. Say, the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit regenerated you. So, live by Him. And so, just as we are born by faith in Christ, and the Holy Spirit births us, now we live the Christian life by simple faith in the Holy Spirit. And so what this fish, the seven fish, what it represents is the church filled with the Spirit living in the atmosphere, that's not what I'm looking for, in the water, what is that when you live? Element. Living in the element it was designed to live in. So, where do many of us live? We live outside of our element. Sometimes in a job, through promotion or somehow or other, you end up and you maybe you don't realize, but other people realize you're outside of your element. You're real good over here, but somehow or other you got over here. And you're outside of your element. And there's not comfort. There's no comfort when we are outside of our element. But when we're inside of our element, there's comfort. When we're walking in the Spirit, we are in our element, and there's comfort. So if you find yourself flapping around on the beach, say, wait a minute, I'm a fish. They belong in the water. I think I'll get back in the water. That's where you need to be. We are spirit dependent. Now, the first deacon then represents the church. We are spirit dependent. The next one is mobile oil. No. Tell you. Remember mobile oil? Wasn't it mobile? The big red horse, winged horse? Pegasus. And I missed that. What? The sign of a flying red horse. Yes. And that's the horse. It flies through the heaven, bringing joy to everyone whom it meets. Okay? Pegasus. Pegasus is the Holy Spirit. And he brings joy and peace to all whom he meets. Now, where a horse with wings, unique? I've been to some big zoos. I don't think I remember seeing one of those. They're very rare. I don't think there are any in captivity. Now, what have we seen that is kind of a unique horse? Right here. Part man, part horse. Hypostatic union. Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit are just alive. They're just different. That's all. And I love this because he comes with the wings of grace. We don't have to work, earn, or deserve anything from God. That's grace. the wing part is separated from the horse part. And so we have literally a representation of Jesus Christ, a representation of the Holy Spirit. Christ is now in heaven, and so his Spirit, who's just like Christ, but different, comes to us and energizes us. The word in the pedas actually means coming quickly or coming joyfully. And you see this boy, I wish I could read that. I bet you can't read it if I can't read it, can you? Well, this is in a circle, and when things are in a circle, obviously, you see. Well, he's got a, at any rate, he has a big star right here on his shoulder. I don't know if you can see it or not. And it's Makav in the Hebrew. And it means returning from afar. And so this is a picture of Jesus Christ. It's also a picture of the Holy Spirit. And what is he doing? He is returning from afar. When Christ said, I'm going to get out my little zodiac that I can read. When Christ said that, you know, I have to go away, but if I go away, I will return. John 14. Now, he's talking about two different things. One, he is going to return, correct? But he also says, in the rest of the upper room discourse, when I go, I'm going to return right back. I'm not going to leave you as orphans. I'm going to send you my comforter. And so the Holy Spirit comes as our comforter. Right? Look at this star right here, right where his foreleg comes up into his shoulder there. And that feet in the Hebrew, and it means he who goes and returns. He also has a very bright star on his nostril, which I think you can see it's right there on his nose. And it's enough in the Hebrew, which means the branch. Who is Christ? He is the branch. This is the picture of the Holy Spirit. What does he do? He comes when we're filled with the Spirit, and he produces the branch in us. He produces the Lord Jesus Christ in us. And then he has a big star called Homan, which is right below his mane in here. And Homan is an interesting star. It means water. So he brings the water. He brings the Holy Spirit. And so what we have here, again, is a demonstration of the unity of Jesus Christ and of the Holy Spirit. John 14, he said to Thomas, hey, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. I and the Father are one. Christ and the Spirit are one. And it's interesting in John 14 when Thomas says, well, show us the Father. Notice he doesn't show them the Father, he shows them himself. How do we come to the Father? Through Christ. Now, you want to, today, we have a hard time seeing Jesus, don't we? Because he's not here, but he is here. But he's not here physically like he was with the disciples. So how do we see Christ? That's it. Through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit shows us Christ. And so there's a unity between Christ and the Spirit, and obviously between the Spirit and God the Father. So, Pegasus represents both Christ and the Holy Spirit. We are in unity with Jesus Christ. We are in Christ. And where is the Spirit? He's in us, right? But where is Jesus? He's in us. See? We're in Christ. The Spirit is in us. And because the Spirit is in us, what is one reason the Holy Spirit indwells us? Why? So that He fills us so that the life of Christ can be lived through us. But I just, He makes the temple for Christ. The home, right? He makes the place for Christ to live in us. I'm sorry, what? Yes. That's right. But why is the Holy Spirit in us? So Christ can be in us. And then He fills us. So that Christ can live out His life through us. And so, here we are, the church. And remember, part of Pegasus' job is to bring good news. We're the church, the fish. Interesting as we get in to Pisces, the fish has to do with multiplication. All the way through Scripture, the fish has to do with multiplication. We are to bring the good news of Jesus Christ to the world. As you and I walk by faith in the Spirit, He's going to cleanse us. That's the water cleanses. The water, it's like pouring out His love through us. And it is impossible to love someone and just watch him go to hell. I mean, if I happened to drive by the street and I saw down the street and I saw a house burning and I stopped and I saw you and you were crying, I said, "What's the problem?" You said, "Oh, everybody I loved was in that house." And I said, "Well," you said, "Yeah, I smelled the smoke." And then I began to kind of see it glow, and I just stood out here and watched it burn, and next thing I knew, all the people I loved, took about an hour and a half before it really got going good, they were all burned to death. I might wonder if you really loved them. Because I think if you had loved them, see, love acts, you would have gone and knocked on the door and tried to get them to come out. Now, some people, we try to get them to come out, they don't want to. See? But I think if we love someone, we will have a passion to tell them about Jesus Christ. In fact, there are two things that we should have, at least two things we should have a passion for. We should have a passion, number one, to tell people about Jesus Christ. And number two, we should have a passion to tell people about the Holy Spirit, how to be filled with the Spirit. What off the wall question here? What's the sign of being filled with Spirit? Fish, but I'm talking about a manifestation of being filled with Spirit. Love? Love for one another? That's true. Unity? Let's look and see what the Lord says. Let me ask you this question. This is a question before a question. Is what Jesus Christ says in Scripture, does it have more validity or less validity than, say, what Paul or Peter or James might say in Scripture? It's the same, isn't it? who is, when Christ is speaking, who is speaking? Holy Spirit. When Paul or Peter or John are writing, who's speaking? Holy Spirit. So, but I think we can at least say that when Jesus is speaking, he's probably got a pretty good clue of what he's talking about. Okay? So let's go to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, kind of an interesting thought about the filling of the Spirit. And there's probably a couple of you that I haven't really aggravated in a week or two. And so here's my chance to get you. Yeah. Look at verse 4. On one occasion, this is while he, Christ, was eating with them, the disciples, he gave them this command. Do not leave Jerusalem. Okay? Now, if you think that's the command for the whole church, or probably just for the disciples? Hope that's just for the disciples. But wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water. This is a men-day sense. Literally this way. On the one hand, John baptized with water. But on the other hand, in a few days, you will be baptized, not with, but by the Holy Spirit. Can you see the difference between baptized with and by? I'm not really sure what being baptized with the Spirit means, but I know what being baptized by the Spirit. By the Spirit means the Spirit takes us and identifies us, that's the word baptizo, with someone else, Jesus Christ. Okay? So in our baptism, we are identified with Christ. Now that's what he's talking about. You're going to be baptized by the Holy Spirit. So when they met together, they asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? Now, they know much of the Zodiac, and so they've missed out on the church. And so they are thinking kingdom. It's going to be the kingdom? We love eschatology. Now, they had a reason for hoping that because they knew they were going to rule with Christ in the kingdom, and they're ready. They're ready to partake and to party. And so Christ says, it's not for you to know the times or the dates the Father has set by his own authority. But, getting back to my subject of the Holy Spirit, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses. Now, it is interesting that Jesus Christ says, here are the two things that are identified with the Holy Spirit. One, power. Two, your witness. Now, other things that are identified, love. When you look in the Pauline epistles, when he speaks of being filled with the Spirit, there's always songs, hymns, worship are identified. So, two things. One, power. Love is powerful, isn't it? And two, we're witnesses. Now, I bring this out because in the rest of, as we're going to talk a little bit, the whole idea of the fish is a witness for Christ, a multiplier. It multiplies. And if we had time, we could read on, and we know that what happened, the Holy Spirit came, and Peter began to preach. and 5,000 came to know Christ. So, what I want you to see is that when we're filled with the Spirit, very careful that you get this. You're not filled with the Spirit by witnessing. When you're filled with the Spirit, you witness. Can you see the difference? You're not filled with the Spirit by loving as Christ loves. See that? Well, how are we going to do that? Well, we've got to love as Christ loves. How? Well, don't do this. This is an example. Okay? Let's all stand and hug the person next to you and tell them you love them. Okay? In fact, let's stand and say five nice things about the person. Well, three nice, at least one. You see how now we're filled with the Spirit, we've said something nice about someone. Now, young people love those kind of churches. Young guys, they try to get and say, now let's see, is it going to be the one on the left or right? I want to sit by her. Oh, my God, I don't want to sit by her. You know? So they try, it's, placement is everything. You see, we're not filled with the Spirit because we love. We love because we're filled with Spirit. We're not filled with Spirit because we witness for Christ. We witness because we're filled with Spirit. Where does the power to witness come from? The Holy Spirit. That's the whole idea of power. Where does the power to love as Christ loves come from? From the power of the Holy Spirit. You see, we're involved now. When we come to know Christ, look, we're involved in the conflict. Are you prepared to fight in a conflict that encompasses the entire universe? I don't think so. You see what? Can you see the scope of this war? I mean, when one of the things that, by the way, could be scary is that Aquarius, it's kind of a weird constellation, it's moving toward us. Toward us. 160 miles a second. It's moving toward us. It's going to hit us. Now, right now, it's still 1.5 million light years away, so, I mean, you've got time to go home after church to get the water ready. Get the provisions ready. I didn't mean to throw fear into you. But, do you see, I mean, all I'm trying to show you is this warfare encompasses the entire universe. We cannot participate in that kind of war on our own power. We have to have the power of the Holy Spirit. So the very first thing that happens to us, we have the Holy Spirit, we're now equipped for the warfare. No way we can fight in this war without the power of God. No way at all. And that's what all this is showing us. We are involved in the warfare. Well, just as Pegasus is carrying the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world, we should too. You know, when you read the Gospels, and I may be misreading this, but it seems to me like Jesus gets pretty excited about people being saved. Do you remember one of the first things he says to his disciples before they're even his disciples? You know what he said? He said, "Follow me, man, I'll make you all rich." Yes, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. These were fishermen of fish. I'll make you fishermen of men. Remember in John, about 21, what's the last one of the last times that Christ is with his disciples? They're fishing. There's no fish. God, why don't you throw your net over on the other side? Fishing all night. And he brought in gobs of fish. Almost sank the boat. Now, I think there was a little object lesson there. I said, wait a minute. What were we doing when we first met Jesus? We were fishing. What did he tell us? What kind of fishing are we supposed to be doing? We're to be fishermen of men. We're using the wrong tools. We don't need a physical net, we need a spiritual net. When you fish with a net, it's kind of indiscriminate, isn't it? And you just catch as many fish as you can that way. Did you know if you're somewhere where there's lots of fish, you can catch more fish with a big net than you can with a little pole? Okay. I have a passion for fishing. We need a passion for being fishermen of men. And everywhere, when you read throughout the Gospels, I think that you'll see that Christ has pretty good passion about seeing the lost saved. So I think we ought to have a passion. I think we need to be excited about Jesus Christ and his work on the cross and the Holy Spirit and his work in us. Now, once again, excitement doesn't fill you with the Spirit. Okay? You see, we go right back to some of our other Christian friends, and how are they teaching to be filled with the Spirit? With the Spirit? Through an emotional experience. Through excitement. And we just all get so excited about Jesus. And we have to say that. Jesus! And pretty soon, we're excited. And then we assume, now that I'm excited about Jesus, I'm filled with Spirit. That is backwards. And I only said two-thirds of the word. Backwards. When we're filled with the Spirit, then we're excited about Jesus Christ. Then we're excited about seeing people saved. Then we're excited about telling other believers how to be filled with the Spirit. Both are received by simple faith. Now let's go back. What's our purpose in life? Very simply put, to glorify God and enjoy His presence. Is that right? That's it. That's it. How is God glorified? What happens in our lives that glorifies God? Anybody got a clue? That's the means. Just through the power of the Spirit, faith in the Spirit, loving one another, does that glorify God? Does that bring light to Him? Does that bring magnification to Christ? What else? Yeah. A life. So, but what I'm trying to say, what things in our life might glorify God? Okay, so his life, he's going to be living his life through us, and we've already picked up love. We're trying to scripture things that he points out in scripture. This glorifies God. This in your life glorifies God. That's right. We've always said that. So I'm just seeing if there's anything else. That's the means of. Ah, do the fruits of the Spirit glorify God? It all works together. But we're just talking about some things. In other words, if we're going to say, what I'm trying to do is bring it so we have some specifics, sometimes we can be so general that we just don't have anything. You know? Oh, my life is to glorify God. Well, if Scripture tells us some things that glorify God, again, maybe that's kind of a neat thing to look at and say, hey, do I have those in my life? That glorifies God. If I don't, how do I get them? Now I've got to go back and drink in the Spirit. But if my purpose in life is to glorify God and enjoy His presence, the means of which is being filled with the Spirit. And it results in love for one another. What happened? What did Christ say? As soon as you're filled with the Spirit, He comes upon you. Two things: power and witnessing. Okay? Just witnessing glorify God. Some of you say yes, some of you not sure. Okay? Yeah, but I think that there are some things that eating oatmeal. Maybe an omelet, but I don't know about oatmeal. Yeah, but do you see that? Yeah, but what if nothing in your life is glorifying God? Then you're not walking in the Spirit. And my question is your life glorifying God? And you see, I'm looking, and I'm going to tell you this personally. You may not agree with this, but I'm going to say if you can't see any specifics in your life that glorify God, maybe there's not any there. Okay? If there's, and I'm talking about spiritual things in the spiritual battle. That's right.
What you do glorify God may not be,
but if He's being transformed in us, can we say that perhaps there'll be some things that will be similar? And I'm talking about the things that are in Scripture. And this is where we get into legalism. We have to be real careful. And sometimes we're so terrified of getting into legalism, we don't even want to teach some things because they can be taken the wrong way and be legal and become legalism. Well, that's wrong too. I mean, that's the same problem that I used to face with the charismatic movement. I was so terrified that God might think I was charismatic. I never got excited about anything spiritual because, you know, get too excited, God's charismatic. See? So, when we are glorifying God, we have the fruit of the Spirit. There's going to be joy. There's going to be love. I'm just going to go back that there's going to be at least two things that Christ mentioned. He could have been wrong. Where there's going to be a supernatural power in our life, and we're going to be witnesses. And that's either verbally or with our lives. Is that correct? And or both. See, and or is one or the other, or both. Now, probably there are more secret agents in Christianity than anything else. Okay. Is that true, Ray? Ray was there. And The love that they saw was the same love that he gives us through the Holy Spirit. That is the attraction. Mm-hmm. Sure. That is exactly. Okay, if I just kind of rung your bell a little bit and you just kind of wonder, is there anything in my life that glorifies God? Okay, when you're giving things, regardless of your circumstances, but I'm going to clarify a little bit. I don't need to put words in your mouth. But let's say when you're giving things in your circumstances that may not be the most pleasant. Okay? Instead of Ed McMahon at your front door, it was the IRS auditor. Okay? Yeah. And so now you're giving thanks and there's joy. Do you see how that fits in with the conflict we're talking about? Who is worthy to be God? Lucifer or Christ? Who can give people an attitude of true joy and thanksgiving in difficult circumstances? It's God! Do you see how we're glorifying God? Now, let's go to this witnessing thing. I don't want to harp on it, but I'm there. When we're glorifying God in adverse circumstances, what are we? Witnesses. Is that right? You see, being a witness means that people, first of all, means giving, we could go back and it means to give a testimony of something that's true in your life. But it means that people see something in you that they want, they desire. Now, most of us, many of us, when we have adverse circumstances, we share the pain. Right? You know, and many of us, these people, unbelievers, say, man, if that's what it's like to be a Christian, thank God I'm not one. I thought I was miserable. Many, many unbelievers think the most miserable people on earth are Christians. And they are. Why in the blue blazes would you want to give up your life to be one of them? But when they see joy, and I mean true joy, not acting as if we have joy. When they see true joy, they see Christ, and they are attracted. Let me give you just one example in the business world and dealing with people, servicing and so forth. There is a great difference in somebody who enjoys helping people and someone who is willing to act like he enjoys helping people. You know what I mean? See? Big difference. Do the people being helped, do they sometimes notice that? Yeah. Okay? So, one of the things that when we're filled with the Spirit, what we come with the wings of day to bring good news. The good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, we have to look at the swan. Now, here's the swan, and I know he looks like she's diving down toward the earth, but she's in space. And in space, I'm not sure if you're flying up or down. See what I mean? So the swan is in space. And the swan, one of the most beautiful of all the birds, but how does it start out? Ugly duckling. Isaiah 53 tells us that Christ was an ugly duckling. Okay? There was nothing in his humanity that attracted men. In fact, they were on the cross, and before the cross, they were repelled. Okay? But in his resurrection, he is the most beautiful of all creatures. You see the swan? Christ, this is the third decon here, the third chapter in our old book here, and he's Christ resurrected, the most beautiful of all creatures. He's unique in that he belongs to both earth and air. Christ is unique. He is the ruler of the earth, and he's the King of Kings. He belongs to both heaven and to the earth. Another illustration, the swan belongs to both earth and water. He's equally at home in water and the air. A lot of places that you can go there. And in the swan is probably one of the most, outside of the Southern Cross down here, it's probably one of the most perfect crosses. If you look at the seat, you can at least probably make out a cross. Speaking of the work of Jesus Christ on the cross. And one of the brightest stars is Deneb. And Deneb means he who is coming to judge. Let me tell you where Deneb is. I've got a finding here on my... right in the middle. Right in the middle is Deneb. He who is coming to judge. It's just the age of Aquarius with Tom. What's going to happen when Christ comes? He's coming to judge the unbeliever. Another star is Azel, and that's right in his tail. And Azel means he who goes and returns quickly. That is the Lord Jesus Christ. He goes and he comes back very, very quickly. It's just one of the most beautiful pictures of the swan, and we just have enough time that I just want to go to Pisces real quick and give you a summary of the story of Pisces, and next time we'll spend the hour there, because it's so beautiful and so really so complicated. Notice that Pisces is two different fish. Notice the fish right here going in the orbit of the sun toward the water of the Holy Spirit. Then you also have, there is a cord or a rope that is tied around the body of both fishes. And here's the other part of Pisces, and he's headed towards the North Star. He's headed north. Notice that this rope is tied to Cetus, who represents the sea monster, Lucifer. It goes right by Aries. We'll study that next. But Aries is kind of holding the rope, and it holds the reins of the believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. The rope is also a constellation. It's the band that holds us all together in Christ. Now, this is what I think is so unique, is notice we have two different figs. A lot of things we could do with two. We go back to two as the number of multiplication, but it's also the number that shows difference. Remember when we studied numbers? Two, different. These figs are different. They're the same, but they're different. They both represent the believer. They both represent the church. Those in the universal church, not the local church. And what do we have? Some believers just have a drive toward relationship with God, toward drinking of the water of life, toward the Holy Spirit. You know what? Other believers don't. But they're both tied with the same rope. They both belong to Christ. It just hit me with our Lordship group. Okay? Not a true Christian doesn't have a thirst for Jesus. Do you see what God put in the stars before the creation of man? Before there was even a need to be saved, because there was no one to be lost. He says, some believers are going to have a hunger and a thirst for a relationship with God. Some believers are going to have a desire to enjoy the presence of God. And some aren't. But the rope says they're all mine. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that beautiful? We're going to look at this gal right here. And she is sitting on a chair, and she's in chains, and she represents the church. She's been ravished. Some believers are chained to the law. Some believers are chained to the lust of the flesh. But she's going to be rescued by the Lord Jesus Christ. You see the good news? Whether you are a fish who just desires to be with the Lord Jesus, or whether you're a fish that is trying to swim away, whether you are a fish who desires and worships God by simple faith, or you're chained to the law and the misery that it brings, Jesus Christ is going to come, and He's going to rescue you. He's going to save you. What kind of salvation are we talking about? Eternal, but are we talking about salvation at the cross? No. Are we talking about salvation in time, experiential? No, we're talking about salvation when we start eternity. Either when you die or the rapture of the church, He saves you. Do you see the three salvations? Why does He save you right here, even when you're chained either to the powers of Satan or to the powers of the law. Because he's already saved you. Salvation went. You see that? So no matter where you are in your Christian life, God still loves you the same, and he's going to deliver you. You're going to spend eternity in heaven. I just think it's interesting he teaches eternal security. But what does that show us in the battle? Who's worthy to be God? Do you see? What is the one thing that Satan has a hard time doing like God? Is it loving? You think Satan can fathom a love that would save those who turn against him? No. Satan doesn't even remain loyal to those who are loyal to him. Study the tribulation. God is loyal to those who are disloyal to him. That's love. You see all that in pause in the conflict. So we will finish that up next time. I got to later than I thought. I just get carried away. I think I took a vitamin this afternoon, but I think I read the bottle on as a preaching pill. Okay. Father, just thanks for the time we've had to come together and to worship you today. You're so good. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your faithfulness to us. These things I pray in Christ's name. Amen.